Welcome back to The Paranormal Curator. I'm your host, Tom Castaños. Remember to like and share this podcast so our audience expands and we get more and more remarkable content sent our way. Also, if your podcatcher allows it, give us a 5-star rating and maybe write a nice review. It's just another way to spread the news about collecting these amazing paranormal stories. Recently, I moved out of San Antonio proper, my home for many, many years, out into the Eastern County. Decided to get out in a little quieter country community. What I didn't realize was that I was actually moving to a paranormal hotbed. After watching the Small Town Monsters documentary, The Texas Dogman Triangle, I realized that my new home is literally the southwestern point of that triangle. One of the anchor stories of the Texas Dogman legend is happened just a few miles from where my home is now. So I had to go and look for Skull Crossing on the Cibolo Creek to find where the original Dogman story of Texas, or so some say, occurred. It's called the Converse Dogman, Converse being a small community not too far from here. So the story, and this makes it kind of difficult to tack it down, is attributed with happening anywhere from the 1860s to the 1950s. But all the versions of the story go something like this. There's a rancher, and he has a young son that he is not happy with, that is just not toeing the line, not pulling his weight, not being the man that his father hopes he would be. So one day he tells him, you know, I want you to go out and go hunt, go kill a deer. And the young man says, I don't like to hunt, I don't want to do it. But the father will not be denied. He gives him a gun and says, go out there and bring back a deer. After a few hours, the young man comes back startled, telling his dad about encountering this terrible beast, this 6-foot-tall plus, half dog, half man, monster along the Cibolo Creek. Well, the dad thinks it's just another excuse for the young man to not hunt, so he pushes him back out the door and says, don't come back until you come back with a deer. Well, the day carries on and is getting into dusk, and the father begins to have a little bit of remorse for his harshness, decides to gather up the neighbors and go look for his son. As they approach Skull Crossing on the Cibolo Creek, they find his son being ripped to shreds by this dogman creature. They fire a few shots from their rifles and chase for a while, but the animal gets away. That is the legend of the Converse Dogman. This podcast has dealt a great deal with stories of ghosts, but rarely have we talked about cryptids except for maybe our pterodactyl a few episodes back. So for this episode, I decided to recruit some help. Cryptids, Folklore and More is a podcast that is hosted by Dominique and Megan, and they're going to join us today. Megan, Dominic, how are you guys today?
Good, Tom. How are you doing? Thanks
for
having us
on.
Oh man, we're doing well. Doing well. So, you know, when I moved here, this story came up actually, and I'll have to give credit and put links in the show notes to the Texas Dogman Triangle documentary that came out. And then I realized the story is like, oh my God, that's literally like a mile away from the house that I moved into. But this story is bigger than Texas, most assuredly. Had either of you really been that familiar with Dogman before I sent you the message?
I'm not going to lie. Prior to you reaching out to us, I never heard of it. Megan, have you ever heard of it?
I heard of it briefly because I was watching cryptid shows and also supernatural shows on either Travel Channel or Sci-Fi. So I heard about it a bit.
So, you know, it's out there, but it's, you know, my first thought was, well, it's not really a cryptid. I mean, or it's not a, my first thought would have been werewolf.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my age, right? You know, old werewolf movies with Lon Chaney and stuff like that. So, you know, where do you guys think this fits in the grand pantheon of cryptids?
Well, there are definitely sightings of it. You know, I did read that there have been sightings in Texas, but there are also several similar stories around the country that describe like werewolf-like cryptids.
Yes.
I mean, it's the kind of part man, part some kind of canine mm-hmm. thing. And I've heard people that wrote about it say, oh, no, I know the difference between a wolf and a dog. And, you know, okay, I'll give you that. I think if you're really, you know, up on your critters, you're going to know the difference. In the dark, some 6 foot, two legged thing that growls at me, I might not sit there and try and decide whether it's a Shih Tzu or a German Shepherd, right? I might take off running. True. You know, so I think it's splitting hairs a little bit. So I'm going to, at least for the time being, lump them sort of together. What are some of the stories that you guys have read about, maybe kind of more in your area or outside of the Texas area?
Well, we live in Pennsylvania. I couldn't really find any notable werewolf-like cryptids here, but we did bring some cases to the podcast today that come from around the country. For example, there's one in Wisconsin called the Beast of Bray Road, and there's also one in Michigan called the Dog Man. And I know Megan bought some as well.
There's also one in Ohio called the Ohio Dog Man. And then there's another one that's similar to like a canine cryptid. It's called Snarly Yow.
Snarly Yow or Yo.
All right. Well, Megan, ladies first, give me one of those.
So I'll start with the Ohio Dog Man. It is similar to the Texas Dog Man, which is described as a like 6 to 8 foot tall wolf-like man, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it has glowing eyes, and it stands on its hind legs. And it's dated back to the 19th century. So it's been all over the place for decades.
That's amazing that these stories have the kind of, you know, pardon the pun, the legs that they do, that they go back as far in time that they do. What were we going to say, Dominic? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, they go pretty far back in history. When I was doing research, I saw that they say stories of werewolves originate from either, like, ancient Greece or ancient Rome, like medieval Europe.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's an account in a previous podcast that I did. I covered an account where in the era where Austria was run by the Holy Roman Empire, there was actually a military expedition. They sent an entire battalion of troops up into this mountain village to chase down this werewolf. I mean, it was taken so seriously in like the 1750s that the Austrian army went to go track it because there had been a number of deaths in a small village. And people first said, oh, it's a wolf or a wolf pack. But they kept saying, no, we've seen it. It walks on two legs. Now, they never found anything. But I think it's interesting that even as far back that they would actually, you know, issue an order for a military unit to go chase them down.
Yeah, that is strange.
Yeah, that carries it to a whole new level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I even found this absolutely insane case that, you know how we in here in America, we had the Salem witch trials. You know that in Europe, they actually had werewolf witch trials. Like, I found that in, like, Switzerland in the early 15th century, they had something akin to, like, a werewolf trial.
Wow. So that brings me back to something, too. And so, you know, I don't know if we want to start splitting hairs about cryptid or not. But, you know, so the common werewolf thing, you know, goes back to this alleged disease, lycanthropy, right, where a person turns into this canine, you know, hybrid thing. So is that really a cryptid? Or is that some kind of supernatural magic thing? And do you think there's a difference? Are there people that can turn into dogs? Or is it purely just an animal? I'll say for me, it's easier for me to believe in it as a cryptid than it is this kind of magical transformation. But again, I don't pretend to know anything other than my own beliefs.
Yeah, no, I agree. It could be some kind of unknown species of wolf. But it should also be noted that many of the tropes that we associate with werewolves actually come from Hollywood. Like, for example, the whole werewolves can only be killed by silver bullets or they turn under full moons. Those parts of the legend actually come from Hollywood. But the old stories do talk about, like, people transforming into werewolves.
And does it come from the basis of, like, a curse?
That's the question. I would lead no. I would say it's probably some kind of, if it is real, it's some unknown species.
Yeah, I believe it's an unknown species, because the difference between werewolves and dogman, werewolves change in full moon, but dogman does not. So that's like the difference between those two.
Yeah, one's an animal, one's an actual animal, and the other one's some other thing.
Mythical creature.
I mean, wow. It seems so weird to be on a show like this and splitting hairs about mythical creatures and animals we've never seen before. But and the other thing you have to take into account, sadly, and I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, but elements of things like schizophrenia and whatnot, where people might act out terribly under some certain, you know, without anything being seen, there are certainly situations where humans could probably also be capable of the kinds of violence that are sometimes associated with these beasts or beings. The story right here in Converse, Texas, it's largely considered a legend because it ranges from people saying it happened in 1880 and 1920, and they can't even agree on that. And of course, as you get into the 1900s, there should be more documentation. This was a thriving city by that time. But you know, the lore tends to go that this father is so disappointed in his son that's just not a manly man. He goes, you know, go out and shoot a deer. And the kid, I don't want to shoot a deer. And he sends him out, and the kid says he sees this dog man. And the dad just thinks, he's just BS, and you know, he doesn't want to go do it. So he sends him out again, and then the kid doesn't come back. And when they go searching for him, they find the kid ripped to shreds and this dog man there. So is this a father covering up, leaving his kid out in the wilderness overnight and being mauled by coyotes, or is this something that they actually saw? I don't like to dispel or disprove anything, but you can't take away, there could be an element of like cover up in the story too.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, perhaps the old legends were meant to be a metaphor for human behavior, but maybe they got misconstrued over time.
You know, amongst a lot of Mexican-American folk tales around here, things like La Llorona, the crying woman at the river. I mean,
I've heard of that story.
So I don't want to like spoiler alert, but I also live just a couple of miles from a place called Woman Hollerin' Creek, and we will be doing a story on that shortly too. But
interesting.
You know, the bottom line is, I had no idea the little corner of the world that I was moving in. I just thought it was a nice little country house. I didn't realize I was moving to Transylvania here, but the thing about, you know, legends like La Llorona and like that, you know, people argue that the number one thing is, well, this is keeping kids away from the creek at night so they don't drown, or, you know, the same reason you use boogeyman stories. Mm-hmm. But from these other stories you've talked about, and Dominic, I want you to give us one of your dogman stories, there doesn't appear to be that moralistic element to it. They're more just legitimate sightings of something.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and it did also remind me of the whole metaphor aspect of like the Wendigo legend, where we did an episode on that, and mm-hmm. some people, you know, believe it's like a real creature, but I think it's just more so just a metaphor for humans, you know, turning into cannibals.
Stories.
You know, and you know what? People are capable of some really terrible things.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. beyond a shadow of a doubt, the real monsters in the world are kind of like our potentially our like coworkers and stuff sometimes. You know, how many times on the news do you have to say, "Oh, I never thought he would do something like that." Yeah, well, you never do. You never do. But Dominic, give us one of the dogman stories that you found.
Yeah, well, there's a big one is the Beast of Bray Road, which originates in 1936 when there was a creature matching a werewolf-like description that was seen running in a rural area of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, which is a small town that only has a population of around 10,000 people as of the most recent census. I'm sure back then it had even less. But supposedly people sighted a beast running on a road called Bray Road, a rural road, and they even reported that it scratched their cars when it was running by a road, and a woman even claimed that she struck the creature with her vehicle, And when she got out of the car to assess the damage, she thought it was just a deer, but she found herself chased back inside her car by a creature that she described as werewolf-like with glowing red eyes.
And has that been seen multiple times? Is that, I mean, are there still continued sightings?
Yeah, they say the original sighting was like in 1936 when it was seen. But then there was like a several sightings in like the 70s and 80s.
That's always interesting to me because, you know, it sometimes appears that decades pass between, one set of sightings and another set of sightings. Does this thing just go away? Does it, is it hidden, or does it just come back in people's consciousness? You know, I wonder what makes it where they disappear for time periods like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Perhaps there's just a very small population of them out there.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with the Ohio Dog Man. It's the first sighting started in 1972. So it's like, what happened with the other decade?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you wonder if it gets, if something like that gets flushed out of one area and sent somewhere else. Because, you know, I'm in Texas. There's a lot of real estate here, but there's also a lot of real estate being developed. And you know, you've got to think that the Converse Dog Man, and I'll send you guys a map. If it was 1930s, that area was in the middle of nowhere. And right now it's in the middle of like 60 million houses that are being built. So if there was something there, it's not there anymore. It's moved farther east out into the still the wilder places. You know, so you would wonder if it disappears from this area, are we going to find it two towns over or whatever, you know, in a less populated area. But I've got to imagine they need that habitat, right?
Yeah, and I would imagine if these are creatures that can travel easily by night and they hang out in the forest. I mean, America still has plenty of forests, even though we've cut down a lot of them.
Yeah,
it's why I've never been fully dismissive of like Bigfoot, because I do feel like if they do exist and there's a small amount of them, they could hide in the forests.
Oh, particularly like in the Pacific Northwest and places like that where there are just, I mean, there are eastern state sizes, chunks of land that no one's in.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you can put Maryland somewhere in Washington state and that whole outline, no one's ever been in most of that land, right? So, yeah, it's as big and wide open as Texas is in our immediate area here in South Central, it's prairie land. There's not a ton of forest, and what's there is a little bit farther east of us. So, you know, it's a little harder to believe that something like this exists unseen. But just the sheer hundreds of thousands of empty acres allows for anything to be possible. Megan, do you want to give me one last story that you found?
Sure. I found this called Snarly Yow. I think that's how I'm pronouncing it right.
All right.
It is a canine creature. It's like a very spooky appearance, and it's around it's like at the cutoff of the South Mountain, part of the Blue Ridge Mountains in western Maryland.
Okay.
And witnesses have seen this creature as giant black canine with red mouth full of sharp teeth, which is dated back for like hundreds of years that people seen it, like pioneers, hunters, and farmers seen it. So it's been interesting with that.
That's another good example, because I used to live not too far from that area for a short period of time.
Oh, you have?
Western Maryland. Yeah. Western Maryland's very rural. I mean, I did another, you're talking, West Virginia really more than Western Maryland. And I could see something disappearing into that wilderness quite easily. Are there any more current sightings of that one?
There was one interesting sighting. It was from 1975. A 30-year-old man named William was walking his dog and just saw a black dog, like, side of him. And he described it as a bigger dog than his dog. And he tried to scare it off with rocks and sticks, but like passed through the creature, which he's like, it's interesting because some people think it's either a phantom dog or it could be like the dog man, like a werewolf type creature.
And that kind of begs also in a Bigfoot realm of kind of interdimensional too, you know, another reason it only appears once in a while and can disappear so easily.
Yes. So that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's like really quick and it just disappears all of a sudden.
Certainly possible. Anything's possible, right? Dominic, yes. I think you have one last one also?
Yeah. So there was another case. It was called the Michigan Dog Man. And this one actually predates the previous case I was talking about, the Beast of Bray Road. Its description is similar to that of the Texas Dog Man and the Beast of Bray Road. But I noticed in many of these cases, they note different eye colors between the stories. So like the previous case... that one had red eyes, but in this case it was described as blue or possibly amber. But an interesting trait that I thought was also notable in this case, if we're talking about are these creatures actually part human, is that its scream was described as like being human-like. And in a documentary I watched on the Texas Dog Man, they did talk about how they believe they could use their screams to try to lure human prey. So maybe that does point to some kind of werewolf-like transformation. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
It could be evidence.
That's interesting because it does seem like there may be, if there's anything like this out there, there may be different things. You know, they may not all be the same thing. In spite of the fact the similarities, you know, maybe some are based in lycanthropy. Some are more, you know, regular cryptid animal. I don't know. We could sit here and guess all night long. I'm glad I haven't run
into one. Yes, you could.
Yeah. I'm glad I haven't run into one yet. I guess I want to close out by saying, as a lesser known story, does that give it less credence? Megan, I'll give you the first last word here.
I don't know. My thinking is it could be just a unexplained wolf creature. Or it could be a mangy bear or a animal. Because usually bears that are like mangy don't have that much fur. Could look like a werewolf. So it could be possible with that.
Yeah.
And like we said about the forest, there's a lot of forest out there. So we don't know what's hiding in the forest areas.
True that. Dominic, your last word.
Yeah, I mean, there could definitely be a very regular explanation to it. But because the legends of werewolves are so prominent in pop culture, and many of these cases typically tend to take place like at night, people's imaginations are probably running much higher, especially if they see something they can't fully see, like a sick animal, or like she said, a mangy bear. So they might automatically, their mind might go to, oh, it's a werewolf, because it's not something I fully recognize. Because people know, I would think the average person knows the legend of the werewolf.
Yeah, they've seen some bad movies at least, right? You know, I mean, that's such a, you know, it's so interesting to think about. I would never discount anybody's sighting, right? You've seen what you've seen. Your mind registered something. What it registered, you know, until obviously there's a carcass or a film or something that's worthwhile, we'll never entirely know. You know, you mentioned that documentary, and I'll definitely put a link to the Texas Dogman documentary in the show notes.
It was a good documentary.
Yeah. The eastern half of this state is much more wooded and much more heavily forested. So it's a little easier for me to believe that it exists out near Houston and north of Houston than it does out where I am here in the central Texas. But that doesn't stop the stories from coming.
Yeah, and you said, since you live in Texas, you said you haven't seen one, but have you, like, had neighbors or anyone around you who've claimed they've seen it?
No, I've got to tell you, since I realized that this Skull Crossing, great name, but not spelled S-K-U-L-L, of the river where the man allegedly found the dog man devouring his son, when I realized it was just a couple of miles from the house, well, you know, road trip, and I went out there and I hiked down to this river crossing. And I even went so far as to put an ad in the local newspaper asking, you know, tell me your dog man stories. No response. It's funny that it seems like the converse dog man story is relatively easy to find anywhere but Converse, Texas. Either they've forgotten it or they didn't know it or it was something that was ascribed to this area that never really happened here. Who knows? But locally, I find almost no mention of it. So I find that interesting. With one exception, there is a folklorist in this area that had collected pretty much the only story that gets retold over and over on the internet. But even he didn't know where that original story came from. So, no, locally, not much going on here.
Yeah, and I'm also sure back then newspapers would probably embellish a little bit to try to sell papers.
Oh, yeah, that never happens now.
You have social media.
Yeah, we won't go there. Hey, Dominic, Megan, thank you so much. Dominic and Megan's show is Cryptids, Folklore or More. Where all can you find the podcast?
Pretty much any major platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Deezer, just about anywhere.
Tremendous. And I'll certainly put a link. They have a Facebook page on the show notes as well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us on.
Check them out. Cryptids, Folklore, or More. I actually said that wrong at the beginning of the episode. It's Cryptids, Folklore, or More. You can find them on Spotify or pretty much wherever you catch any kind of podcast. Again, thanks to Megan and Dominic for their time. Remember to like and share the podcast. Tell your friends. And we're going to put this one away and store it as a cryptid legend here in South Texas. I'm Tom Castañas, the Paranormal Curator.
On the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.